Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Torah Life Ministries, and I wanted to make this video because in the last day or so, Germany, it was just announced here, and I believe a couple of other countries have stopped letting unvaccinated people go into public places. And usually, as we see from the model of the world, things that start somewhere end up here or vice versa. And we're talking today to a friend who's a brother who lives in Germany, and his name's Nevin. And Nevin, where are you currently now, or do you not want to say? You don't have to say, but tell us what's
going on. I can tell you. We're in Croatia. It's still the European Union, but it's somewhat different from Germany. So yeah, we moved to Croatia here, getting our papers ready, just to have an alternative, because things are moving so fast. I would not have believed it half a year ago. All the politicians told us there's not going to be a mandate before the elections, like literally all of them, and it was just a lie. And as I told you before, Paul, we're not talking about Syria, we're not talking about Afghanistan or some country far away. We're talking about Western Germany, Western Europe, in the year 2021. And it's a mandate, it's a law. For now, it's a lockdown only for the unvaccinated. You're not allowed to go into public places. Basically, the last thing you're allowed to do if you're not vaccinated is go into the supermarket, grocery store. Everything else, like literally everything else, you're locked out. You're like an outcast. And what's also a great problem is many, many believers, in fact, it's all believers, are losing their jobs. And if you lose your job, you lose your income. If you lose your income, you can't pay your rent, you're not able to pay your car and everything else. So I would not have, even when this pandemic started, I would not have believed that it's going to move so quickly. And it's just unbelievable. Now they're putting this law into place starting from February next year. So you have 2 or 3 months to get vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, basically you're committing a crime. And they have different models for it. They say, well, you're not going to get picked up by the police to get vaccinated. First of all, I don't believe them because they've lied to us all the time before. But what they have now, it's almost the same because you have to pay, well, they have different models, but you have to pay a fine, but not just once. You have to pay a fine, for example, in Greece, it's 100 euros a day, I believe. In Austria, it's another model. So you have to keep on paying fines if you don't get vaccinated. And like in every country in the whole world, if you don't pay your fines, at some point they're going to come and take your stuff away. And if you don't have anything, they're going to put you in prison. And again, I'm still not able to believe that we're talking about a democratic country. We're talking about the Western country. We have a parliament. We have elected officials. It reads like the book of Revelations. And when I talk to also to family, I have family in the States, as you know, they're like, well, we have to wear masks and this is terrible and that is terrible. And I was like, yeah, but you're still not getting forced to get vaccinated. So that's a whole nother ball in the game.
Well, there are many companies, yeah. Not all across the board, but yeah, there are many companies in the United States that and any federal government employee as well. United States, if they're not vaccinated, they're going to lose their job as well.
Yeah, so that's already horrible. But still, you could change your job.
Yeah,
it's horrible. Many people lose their existence and everything else. I know, but if it's a crime not to be vaccinated, I mean, that's a whole nother level in my eyes.
Now, what you mentioned Iraq and you mentioned Afghanistan Syria, and so on. Yeah. What's happening there with this? Do you know? I mean, do they even talk about vaccines in these places?
They do. It's a worldwide phenomenon. But I'm able to compare, for example, Croatia or Bosnia, where I was born, to Germany, and the mentality is completely different. I have nothing against Germany. I've been living there for quite some time. But now I know what it felt like to be a Jew in 1940. It's the whole climate. I'm talking about the spirit. The spirit, the way people are. It's just unbelievable how they look at you if you're not vaccinated and so on. So that's one story on its own. And to answer your question, yes, they have vaccines. It's a worldwide phenomenon, but it's not enforced as strictly. And basically, if you have a weak government, they're not able to, people have other concerns. They're not, it's not as organized. Germany is very organized. Austria is very organized. The European Union is very organized. In Afghanistan, I don't want to talk about Afghanistan because I'm not from Afghanistan, but it's almost anarchy in some places. It's not as
well, what I'm thinking is at least in people in this country, they'll stare there watching the news and saying, oh, it's terrible that the Taliban are taking over control in Afghanistan, and that's a terrible government, and that's such a, how could we live like that? but that same thing's happening to them, or
yeah,
even worse.
Yeah even if worse. You look at it that way, not even the Taliban are doing this. If you look at it that way, it's crazy anyways. And basically what we do, we try not to watch the TV. As you always say, we don't read the news. So basically it's only if something is of real concern to me, that's when I watch stuff. But usually what you get on TV and on the news, I don't want to talk about conspiracies and all this, but it's not a good quality. It's nothing.
Oh, here's the thing with the new variant that's out now. They're saying, they're starting to say at least that we're going to have to take a booster, or people are going to have to take a booster. I don't know if the people that are even vaccinated are going to be considered vaccinated if they don't get this booster.
I completely forgot to tell you about it. What they want, and it's also being put into law right now, is that the vaccine is only valid between 6 and 9 months. And even if you have your digital ID, it has an expiry date on it. So I know quite a few people, not believers, who got vaccinated and they were like, okay, I'm not going to lose my life here. It's not the hill to die on. At least then I'll have peace. And I told them, you're not going to have peace. It doesn't matter if you can get vaccinated once, twice, or three times. It's not going to stop. And they were like, no. What they told us, if you're vaccinated, it's going to be fine. It's going to go away. I was like, okay, everybody can decide for himself. And now, half a year later, they're coming up with these booster, and people, even vaccinated people, need to get tested to do certain things, to go into shops and stuff.
That's what I was going to ask you. And so in Germany, are they checking it? How do they check it? Do you have to show your card?
They enforce it. Well, there's security everywhere. Police enforces it. And what they do is they try. I have to compare it to the Third Reich. It's unbelievable, because the shop owners, if they don't enforce it, if Paul is going to the shop and they haven't checked if you're vaccinated and they get caught, basically the fines are enormous. So they don't have to have a policeman in every shop, but every shop owner knows it's going to lose his existence. He's going to lose his shop. Well, not maybe from one, but it's a big problem. It's a high fine. So everybody it's a climate of fear. That's one part of it. The other part of it, many people really believe in it. I mean, they believe in it. So, yeah.
And that's the real problem right there. Because I told people a long time ago in video, I said, look, it's going to come a time where your own neighbor is going to come against you, because they're going to believe that you're a danger to them in your
Absolutely.
Neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And
why I was writing you is I believe there's a shift in the body of Christ, of Yeshua, that one part of it is still seeing all this terrible stuff happening, but it's still far away. And I was like this half a year ago, maybe a year ago. I was like, well, it's terrible with all the tests, the masks, the vaccines, and so on. But it's like far away, and the tribulation and the book of Revelations. Yeah, maybe in 20 years, maybe in 30 years. Yeah, the people are getting more and more wicked, but it's in the future. And now I have a whole different perspective on it. Because it's happening right now, right here, not far away, not on the moon, not in some faraway country. It's happening here right now. And as I asked you before, just imagine, what should we tell the brothers and sisters who lose their job? I mean, they don't have, they're losing their houses. It's not like it's some imaginary problem with the news and lying politicians. It's basically, if you take it one step further, a question of life and death, because how are you going to exist if you're not able to work? And it's exactly like it says in the book of Revelations. You're not able to buy or sell, basically not able to work, sell anything, your services or your products, and you're not able to buy. And it couldn't be a more literal fulfillment of what it says. So I know we're not supposed to be scared and we're not supposed to have the spirit of fear, but the situation, I mean, it's very, very problematic, and it's difficult to stay happy, and it's difficult to say, of course, we have Yeshua and we look at him and we know what's coming at the end, it's going to be all right. But still, if you're not able to pay your rent today, you're not able to fill up your car today, you cannot bring your kids to school. It is a form of tribulation, sure. And not a small one.
Have you ever heard the expression, a slow train coming?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we read in the Bible about persecution that's going to happen. And we look at persecution, and which has taken place all over the world to one degree and always has been. But we think persecution means it's going to be like, you know, some Muslims going to come to your door and cut your head off or something. But in a different way, this is the persecution of 2021, where, you know, there's no freedom. And the persecution is if you're going to do what we say or else. And back then it was, if you accept Yeshua or believe in Yeshua, there's going to be consequences. Well, today it's, if you believe in what Yeshua taught, if you believe in certain things that go against what we believe, here comes a persecution. And it's not really focused on believers, so to say, but believers have been given knowledge, and they don't want to take something that has anything connected to it with abortion or anything else. And this is persecution, what's taking place. Everybody, absolutely. We're not doing this to scare you. We're doing this to warn you that this, even though you might not have felt it yet, you might work for yourself and not think it's going to affect you. You might think that it doesn't matter because your neighbors are loving and it's not a big deal. But here's an example. This is a big deal. This is taking place now, and the slow train is coming, and it's coming a lot quicker. It's not coming slow. So now we got to go to the philosophy here. Or the idea is, one of my favorite sayings is, no problems, only solutions. So the question comes now, does not only as believers, but as people who are free, what do we do as we see this train coming? And you brought up the whole Holocaust situation, and this wasn't, you know, it was coming, and they, you know, and how are they going to escape it? How are they going to get away from this? So it's not the same exact situation, but the question everyone's asking, thinking, is, okay, you've told us the problem, well, what's the solution? And the scriptures tell us we're going to be persecuted, but now's time more than ever, I believe, to look at the scriptures, because the answer is there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a big challenge, and it's a good challenge for us, because it's I believe we're the body of Christ is getting purified. It's what very many preachers also say. We have to go through this tribulation to see who's a real believer, but it's very, very, very difficult. You put your trust in God, and it sounds amazing, and I think it's true, and I believe we all should put our trust in God. But it's a daily challenge. It's easier said than done. And it's not funny, but it's interesting to look at it. A few months ago, or last year and a year before, all the believers here were collecting donations, and we were helping believers in other parts of the world. And now these same people who are able to help others are fearing for their existence. And it's a very practical problem. I believe the Torah is a very practical book. It's not some kind of philosophy. It's not like some fluffy way and it's going to be all right. We have to actually do this stuff. We have to go through this. And it's connected to pain, and it's good pain, and everything that happens to us is good. It's for our own good, but it's still painful. And they're very, very challenging times. We have here in the community, if I may call it that way, the question, is it legitimate to move to another country? Is it legitimate to flee? And some believers believe, no, we should stand our ground. And that's why I called you today also. Well, it's great to have this Zoom meeting here, but I just wanted to hear your opinion about it. Do you just, for example, talking about you, what would you do if the states, United States, would have a vaccine mandate? Do you think it's legitimate to go to another country? Or would
a lot of people often say, oh, this is what I would do in this situation. But until they're in that actual situation, they're not always there. But I'll tell you what the scriptures say. I mean, the scriptures tell us, do not be dismayed and do not live in fear of man. And, you know, we have... You know, it's a great example of Shabbat, for example. If somebody's just before, aside from this whole issue, if somebody's at a job and they say, well, you're going to have to work the Sabbath. You know, people sometimes stay because they need the money if they're job secure. But sometimes people leave and they go out on faith and Yahweh blesses them, you know, and gets them a better job sometime. But this really isn't. At the moment, I mean, a lot of people want to claim religious exemption this had to do with abortions and all this stuff. But that's I don't know how sincere that is, even within believers they're just looking for an exemption. But Yahweh knows our hearts, and like what's more important to us, our health or our life. Or standing up for Yahweh and Yeshua, you know, and knowing that, you know, we're only here for a certain time. And I think it's a good time, and I'll do this in the next couple of weeks maybe, is start looking at the scriptures and looking at situations that have similarities where people were oppressed. And we see the scripture where people were persecuted. But I want to investigate the scriptures. How did people respond when they were oppressed? And what did Yeshua say about it? What did the prophets say about it? Because it always talks about persecution and persecution. And to a degree, oppression and persecution are similar, but to agree they're not. And one could lead to the other sometimes, but they're not necessarily always the same. So even in persecution, how are we supposed to respond and act? And I'll tell you one thing, the scriptures say that, you know, those who are rich or poor, and those who are poor are rich. If you have nothing to lose, you have nothing to lose. There's homeless people with no job out there on the street. Right now, they're probably the safest people out there. You know, it's the people that have the big mansion with the nice cars and all the money. Those are the ones that have a lot to lose from a physical standpoint. And the scriptures say those that are last will be first, and those that are first will be last. So it's very interesting. I'm not telling everyone to give up everything or become like these people, but I'm saying it's something to consider. The things we fear and worry about all are connected to the things often that we've collected over time and have fallen into that Greek mindset of I need more, 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 whereas there are people in the world that are... They don't have those same concerns because
fully agree. I think where it really gets really, really tricky and really difficult is when you have responsibility. You have responsibility for your family, for your wife, for your children. And it's so much easier to say, well, I'm going to live on the street, or I'm going to go to prison, or I'm going to go this hard way and stick to my belief. And it's infinitely more difficult if you don't know what to feed your children, or you have to take your children to live with you on the street, which is not possible because they're going to take your children away. And if you're in prison, you're not going to be with your children. So that's infinitely more difficult than me just being a bachelor, which I'm not, as you know, but just assuming if I was a bachelor, it's so much easier to say, well, I'm going to pay this price and I'm going to stick to my belief.
I've seen a good amount of movies on persecution. I love reading books like Fox's Books of Martyrs and other books about martyrism.
I couldn't read it.
But there's some really good films out. And I remember seeing one film once where they asked this man to deny Yeshua, and he refused to do it. And he knew he was going to go to jail and get beaten and stuff. And then at one time, his wife and his child came to visit him in jail, and the guy had bruises all over his face and everything else. And they weren't upset at him. They said, "We're proud of you, Dad. You know, stand up for this." And it's we've been living very comfortable. We've been living very comfortable. And I'm not telling people to go be homeless, but I'm saying that the idea of those that have little to lose have less to give up. But Yahweh told us this stuff was going to happen. And so the question is, you know, I can't say what I will do if I was in that particular situation, but I could say, you know, I think it's an important time for all of us to investigate and read the scriptures and even more diligently. And the question should be not what we should do or what will we do. The question should be like the phrase, what would Yeshua do? And what would he recommend? And I think it'd be good for us at this time to ask the Holy Spirit and pray to reveal to us examples in scripture of people who were under similar persecution and what Yahweh wanted them to do in those situations. And I think that can give people some sort of comfort, because in those stories in scripture, sometimes people did go make a really tough decision. But it seems like there are scriptures where Yahweh ended up blessing those people in the long run. So maybe that would comfort people. And, you know, it's a tough choice. And it's a tough choice. And it's happening. It's coming. It's
absolutely. And that's my message for you today. That's why I called you and wanted to share. It's closer than you believe. It's far closer than you believe. And you're going to be tested. Not just you, but everybody. The bride will be purified through this suffering. And you're going to be tested in the flesh. You're going to be tested in the practical, in the real life. You're not going to be tested in how well you know Hebrew or how well you can sing the Shema. It's not going to matter. What's going to matter is your practical life. Are you ready? And it's going to be real. It's not going to be some fantasy or some abstract idea of belief. And when I look at Yeshua, he had it all, and still he came in the flesh. And he showed in the flesh, the suffering was in the flesh. It wasn't just some story. He did it here, right here. And we'll have to follow him. And it's not easy. And as I said, it's closer than we may believe. It's not even just about vaccination. I mean, it's vaccination today. What's the next
exactly.
point?
Exactly.
Yeah. There are even some good people taking the vaccination. I mean, what's next? If they can force you to inject stuff into you, will I have to wear a red nose tomorrow, or horns, or what's next? It's a question about freedom and not freedom, not so much about vaccine or no vaccine. Of course, that's a big topic, but that's not all it is. It's a spiritual battle, as you also.
There was a movie years ago with Billy Baldwin, and he was. It was a very interesting movie about those Christians that wouldn't submit to the government. They ended up going to prison. And they show them in prison writing scriptures on the walls and stuff, and they were getting persecuted and killed, and they would go singing hymns while they were getting killed. It was a very interesting movie because it's taking place now, and the question ultimately comes down to, you know, for those of us, we all have a responsibility, and our responsibility is to Yeshua first, and it's a good test.
It is.
It's a good test for us.
And it's just the beginning of it. Yeah.
We're just at the beginning of it. You know, so I appreciate you making us aware of this. And I don't want to leave people with a cliffhanger of what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. But I want to encourage people to investigate and now more than ever get closer to Yahweh. And because, you know, the train's going to be here, even though the slow train's coming. It's moving fast. So those of us that know biblical stuff are prepared, and we got to continue to prepare ourselves and never think we're too safe from these things. And we always got to fight and pray. And thank you. Thank you for wanting us and getting on here. And you're living it right now. That's crazy that you're going through it right now, and you could just pick up a phone and call. But at the same hand, the same thing was going on a couple of weeks ago with Afghanistan. You know, people were like, we're trying to get out.
technology. I still feel blessed. I still feel blessed to be able to talk to you and everything. And the tribulation will come in waves. And I'm not sure if it's just going to continue exponentially, maybe, or if there's going to be a quiet few months, maybe a quiet few years, and then the next wave will come. I couldn't tell you, but I know it's we're definitely in the end times, and the body of Christ should look at him, and the bride should purify herself.
Well, you know, I've been telling people this for in 2012 or 14, I've been telling people exactly this was going to happen. And I thought it was going to be the Ebola virus. And I'm still not convinced that it's not going to be, but I was telling people exactly what's happening now is going to be happening. And I have videos I put out on that. But it's not about me. And I know it's about what are we going to do now? And that's why I want to encourage people. Don't be surprised by what's going on. And, you know, things are going to get bad. Things are going to get bad. But, you know, Yahweh tells us to suffer well, and he shows us how to do that. So I appreciate you, brother. And we'll stay tuned, everybody.
Thank you for your time, and
pray to Yahweh. All right. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this message. There's more videos on my YouTube page, Torah Life Ministries, that discuss this important topic, what we should do, and also how we can support others who are going through times like this. And it's not too far away, so be prepared and be ready. Be spiritually, physically, and emotionally prepared for what's coming. It's a slow train coming that's very fast. If you'd like prayer every morning at 6 a.m., we're on our YouTube page with live prayer. So you can come on there and we can pray together in corporate prayer each morning to start our day. And Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is live fellowship on our YouTube page as well, Torah Life Ministries. Thank you all again for listening to this radio program, and I pray that it's making a difference in your life. And I really, really, really want you to know how much I care for you to understand that it says in the scriptures, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we need to get the knowledge of our Creator so we can be prepared when the attacks come. And we know how to handle these things. So praise the wonderful Creator. Have a wonderful day and a great Torah life. Shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Torah Life Ministry.
God so loved the world that he gave, and the world has never been the same. By the light of 1,000 candles, we'll experience the joy and the hope of God's incredible gift. So join us for our most wonderful Christmas Eve services ever, 3, 5, or 7 p.m., and our spectacular live nativity. At the Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.